afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and the show is A Progressive Life, and we are currently on the air with Dr. Feynman. Are you there?
Yes, I was listening to much of your show today. Really controversial stuff.
Yeah, we tried to, make it controversial, but understanding of each other.
I wanted to make a few comments.
Sure.
First of all, the idea that Trump will have more written about him than Lincoln? No. Lincoln's had 60,000 books written about him. Maybe in 100 years, yes, but no time soon. Lincoln is the all-time champion on books written about him, so that's one correction.
How many is that again?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How many books?
About 16,000 books have been written on Lincoln. Don't forget, it's 160 years.
Yeah.
Trump will, I don't know if he'll ever come up to that level. Nixon hasn't, for instance, because nobody can in a period of a few decades or anything. It's going to take a long time, and I actually don't think he'll ever surpass, because he's going to go down as the worst president in U.S. history. So while he'll be covered, he's not going to get covered more than Lincoln or FDR or George Washington. That, I mean, maybe in 100 years, but not any time in our lifetime.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you. Yeah.
And the other thing is the comment about Obama not accomplishing much and Reagan. The big difference was the Congress.
Yes.
In the case of FDR and also Wilson in the first term, by the way, not the second term, and also LBJ, they had massive, particularly LBJ and FDR, had massive margins, so of course they could accomplish things. You can't compare other presidents who have Congresses that are closely divided or have one house in the hands of the other party. So you can't really blame them. It's the circumstances. And obviously, if you have 60% of Congress in your favor, like FDR had or LBJ, of course you're going to accomplish more.
Well, I think I brought that up to Scott.
Maybe I missed that comment,
yeah.
But I know what I heard, what he was saying. And you can't compare presidents. And of course, to blame Obama for not accomplishing anything when Mitch McConnell made clear from day one his goal was to defeat him and also prevent him from getting a Supreme Court nominee, which he had every right to, Obama.
Yep.
It's really not fair to attack Obama or Reagan either, who had a divided Congress.
Yeah. Now, I did bring that up, that business.
Okay, I missed some of that. I wasn't listening every minute, but I was just sitting here thinking, no.
You're supposed to listen to every single minute now. Come on, Dr. Feynman.
Well, on those two points I wanted to mention, Trump's never going to come near Lincoln in our lifetime. Maybe eventually, hopefully not, because he doesn't deserve it.
Well, do you think, Scott brought up an interesting point. He does not think that Obama was a big enough schmoozer to get stuff done. I thought he was pretty good at schmoozing.
I think he was too, except as he once joked, he said, can you imagine, being with McConnell? He made a joke at one of those press, one of those, I guess it was the press gatherings.
Yeah.
Made a joke about McConnell, because McConnell is not exactly a warm individual. He has never been, although with Joe Biden, he's been able to better work with him, because he's known him a long time.
Yeah.
So that could be something good, but I think, the fact is, in all ratings now, Obama, on the most recent survey, which we talked about a few weeks ago, which is the C-SPAN survey, he's rated 10th.
Yep.
Reagan's 9th.
Yep.
So, yes, they're not FDR. They're not, actually, LBJ's rated lower. He's rated 11th. There are a lot of factors to consider, but Obama is rated as one of the top one-fourth of our presidents, 11 out of 44. He's number 10 now.
Yeah, well, now, We had a lot of interesting discussions.
Oh, it's really interesting,
Scott.
Yes.
Tends to discuss stuff. He likes to stay to look at both sides of the coin. And
I agree.
I do not.
Well, when I'm teaching, I give both sides of each president my American presidency course at Florida Atlantic University. I'm not going to say they're even, but I do give pro and con even on Trump. There are some things you can give Trump credit for, just not enough to keep him out of the bottom. So, but I mean, even James Buchanan had some virtues. Everybody has some virtues, unless you're Adolf Hitler or somebody like Joseph Stalin. So, yes, you do have to have a balance, but it may not be an even balance.
I bet somebody what's her name, Von Braun, or no, what's his girlfriend, Braun.
Eva Braun, yeah.
Eva Braun. She liked him, something about him, even Hitler.
Yeah. whoever said people always have good judgment.
Well, we kind of talked about that today, too, because we were talking about the...
I didn't hear that. Okay.
Well, we were talking about the COVID vaccination
thing. Oh, this is crazy what's going on. I'm shocked to hear that in Marion area it's that bad as well, but
it's
I think this is a suicide cult, these people. They're crazy. They're absolutely crazy. I mean, the thing is, if you had the virus visible, everybody would be running to get vaccinations, but because it's invisible, because it's microscopic, they tend to have this idea it doesn't exist, which is purely moronic, because just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, and it is a real threat, and people are dying, and they're at the hospital asking for, for the vaccination as they're on their last breath. And I'm telling you, you hear enough stories like that, you would think people would get the message, but there are really a lot of people who simply refuse to accept science, don't believe in government, and they're basically a suicide cult, and they will win the Darwin Award. You know what the Darwin Award is, don't you?
They have not evolved.
Darwin Award is stupidity.
That'll take care of it.
Survival of the fittest. So, I mean, you know, this might be a way to get rid of some really, I mean, I hate to say that, it might be a way to get people to realize the importance, but meanwhile, we've got to have a lot of victims. We've already had a lot of victims, and it's absolutely insane.
I beat you to it. I tweeted that.
And now we see the four G's. I'm going to do an article today on my blog. I haven't done it yet. The G traitors and seditionists: Matt Gaetz, Louie Gohmert, Paul Gosar, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that's, of course, in alphabetical order. All G's. They held a meeting to condemn yesterday's January 6th committee meeting with the four police officers.
And got shot.
Matt Gaetz of Florida, Louie Gohmert of Texas, Paul Gosar of Arizona, and Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. And they made fools, absolute fools of themselves.
They had to end it early because they were getting whistled down by protesters around them.
Particularly about Matt Gaetz and question whether he is a person who fools around with children, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't care whether, you know, yes, of course I care whether he fools around with children, but I'm not going to pay much attention to it. I just think he's ignorant, so.
Yeah, but they were younger than pedophile, you know, which is, imagine having to be involved in that, but in a way, the way he acts, he deserves whatever ridicule and condemnation he gets. But all four of those are G's. They held a meeting, and they are really the losers of the losers of the losers of the Republican Party. They're the worst. So I called them the G, because the last name is G, first letter. G traitors and seditionists.
Well, now, I don't understand what areas of the map those people come from. Obviously...
from the South and from the West. Arizona, Georgia, Texas, Florida, one of those. And there's others, too. And look what's going on in Missouri. I thought Missouri was more advanced than many states. And yet now they're having this resistance in Missouri and Arkansas. I don't know. It just drives me up the wall how people can be that dumb and not realize the threat.
Well, you didn't ride with my wife and I as we were driving out to my son's house in California the last time, and we were stunned at how many Trump signs were on the highway as we went through Missouri.
In Missouri, you mean? Yeah, how about in California?
Oh, California, that's kind of surprising, but there are pockets.
Probably around Kevin McCarthy's Sacramento, the state capital. He is a monstrous individual, Kevin McCarthy. I think he almost makes Joseph McCarthy, I'm joking, seem not as bad, and I'm kidding, because Joseph McCarthy and the Red Scare was horrendous, but this is no relation except the name, but he is just beyond belief where he's calling, Cheney and Kissinger, Pelosi Republicans. What kind of a comment is that to make? Well, and they both said it's childish, and it is.
And it's okay. Who cares whether they call them names?
But the point is, why would a person who could be speaker talk that way?
Well,
not allow people to have individual thoughts. They don't have to follow the whole crowd. This is not the Nazi Party. This is that we have to all agree, that every Republican has to agree, or every Democrat. I mean, there are Democrats that don't like Speaker Pelosi, but they don't call her a Republican or attacker. You know, it's just so childish. It really is.
Well, the difference is we allow people like the West Virginia Senator
Manchin. Manchin, yes.
Yeah, Manchin.
And Sinema in Arizona, yes.
We allow them to say their piece and actually control some of the business of our party, whereas the Republican Party doesn't seem to have gotten that far. But we're starting to see little tiny cracks with the two that are on the hearing committee.
And yes, and also there's this election for a congressional seat in Texas, which the Republicans were going to win, but there were two candidates, one backed by Trump and one not backed by Trump, and the one not backed by Trump won handily.
That's interesting.
So although he's not anti-Trump exactly, he didn't get the backing, so he may be a little more independent. At least the guy or the woman, I think, who was promoted, you know, to be the Trump candidate lost, so that may start to show that people are not going to vote necessarily for someone who Trump endorses.
Yeah, and do you think, well, in my little pea brain, I keep thinking...
Oh, stop it.
That I keep thinking...
The people with the virus are the pea brains, not you.
Well, I keep thinking that I'm seeing a little, very slow change in our political background, our country's political direction. I'm seeing a little bit of change.
In what way?
I don't know. I'm just feeling it. I mean, the fact that we have...
You had a drink today?
We've had two Republicans that are talking like Cheney and... what's his
name? And Kinzinger, yeah.
Kinzinger. Two Republicans that are talking like that. That's a little bit of a break.
Yeah, and also 35 House members who were Republicans voted for the commission that was rejected by the Republicans,
which is
the bipartisan commission. So 35 people, including those two, but also John Katko of New York, who was negotiating on the conditions for a commission, but then it was rejected by Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
There are 35 out of the 190 or so who did go against, and also there were those who, of course, voted to impeach Trump. You know, so not as many, but I mean, so there could be some changes coming. Look, these people, Cheney and Kinzinger, are conservatives, and I don't agree with their views, but they also are patriots, and they're also people who are willing to recognize that this is a threat, that what happened to the Capitol, and that it could happen again, including on August 13th. Supposedly, QAnon says he's going to be re-inaugurated, Friday the 13th. It sounds like a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah,
so we have to worry about what's going on, and now the fence is down, as one of the office has said yesterday at the hearing. This is concerning. You know, I want to give credit on this station now to Harry Dunn and Acolino Godel of the U.S. Capitol Police, and Michael Fanone and Daniel Hodges of the D.C. Metropolitan Police, who testified yesterday. And Daniel Hodges is the one that everybody is seeing being squeezed almost to death, screaming.
Yep.
That's an image I can't forget. We saw it very early on, and now we know who it is. And it's just so unbelievable. And Michael Fanone has been very verbal and very much involved in speaking out on this. The other two are not as much, but also the fact that Harry Dunn, who's African American, was being called the N-word. It made me cry yesterday when he gave that testimony. It's just unbelief.
I assume you watched the whole thing like I did.
Well, not every minute. I did, you know, I must say that for 4 hours, even though we have those who say don't go away, you know, for even a break, I do go away to go to the bathroom. I missed a few minutes.
But Buddy and I sat on my couch, and Buddy told me that he thought that the officers handled themselves far and above what we expected. They were very good.
And Tucker Carlson, meanwhile, says that not one member of Congress was harmed, which is true, but that's because of the Capitol Police.
Yeah,
but he ignores the fact 140 Capitol Police were injured, some of them seriously, and also 7 people died. He just ignored that.
Yeah.
It's like I watched him for a few minutes. I wanted to go into the Senate and punch him in the mouth, you know?
Well, he's got an audience that wants to hear things like that. But I was thinking, and that's one of the main things I wanted to talk about today. After watching that the hearing, I was pleasantly surprised with how intelligent the officers spoke.
Yes.
How intelligent they responded to questions. Matter of fact, I thought they responded better even than some of our representatives who were, I'm sure, brokenhearted to hear the tales The lady, that the representative who was holed up in a closet 40 feet away from where this was all going on, and listening to all of these horrible things going on outside the closet, and then thanking them. She could hardly speak. She was so emotionally involved.
Yes.
And I was too.
Yes, but so was Kinzinger. Got pretty emotional himself, you know?
Yeah, and it makes you start to have hope again in the Republicans. You know that there are good Republican people. You know,
there are. And it doesn't mean I have to agree with them in every issue, but they're decent human beings, you know?
Yes.
That's the point, yes.
That's all we're asking anymore. That's all I'm asking of any of my representatives, that you be a decent human being and be brave enough to stand up for what you believe. And if you believe in being very conservative and you're brave enough to stand up for it and tell me why, that's good. That's much better than making up lies. Now, one of the things I did want to, I wanted to read to you, if I can find it here. I had, and I told this story with Scott, and this is the type of thing that just disappoints the heck out of me. I came back into town, I can't remember, I was driving somebody somewhere, and
I hope somewhere.
and I came back into town, dropped him off, and I really needed to get away from a little bit, so I went and visited a friend. I didn't really go to her
house.
This
is locally in Marion?
Yeah. I went to her establishment where she works, and she's a friend. Not that type of friend. Don't get anything. But anyway, she's a person that I really respect and a person I really liked. The first, and we were talking about this COVID thing. And
this is how recently?
2-3 days ago.
Oh, okay, this week. Okay.
Yeah. And I said to her that I was really disappointed that we were not able to get Republicans to go get vaccinated. Now, she disagreed with that. And then she said to me she had a good friend who was a local nurse who told her that of the breakthrough cases, that's a person that's already had the shot but gets sick, most of them were the people that were in our hospital with COVID. That is absolutely not true. And I checked with it. The CDC says it's less than 0.1% of
as far as people who have the vaccination then go into the hospital.
Right.
It is very tiny.
But
she's claiming otherwise?
Yeah. And because a friend of hers who's a nurse told her that those people... Well, what bothers the heck out of me is listening to people spreading rumors from a friend of a friend of a friend.
And maybe from Fox News Channel or ANN.
Yeah, and what they're doing is they're spouting these, I don't want to call them lies,
they are lies.
Yeah, they're spouting them to support their case rather than doing the educational thing and looking it up. So I've looked it up, but...
What did you say to her? I guess you didn't say anything directly.
I did not. I'm a coward. But I told her I disagreed with her. That's all I could say. Because I don't...
What gets me is all these nurses. There was in Texas, a hospital where 150 nurses refused to take the vaccination, and they were fired. And that's what needs to happen. Anybody who works in a medical facility should have the vaccination. Absolutely. And if not, they lose their career.
Well, definitely believe, I hate to say this, I've had people say, well, what do you want? You want us to have to carry a card that we're vaccinated? I don't mind. I have one in my wallet right now.
They have a driver's license.
Yeah.
If you drive.
So why not?
That's a big deal.
And then if you walk up to the door at a grocery store and it says you may enter if you've had the shot, or if you're wearing a mask, you can show them your card. If you don't have a card, you have to put a mask on. I don't understand what the problem is with
I do not either. And I think a lot of it is pure stupidity, selfishness, only think about oneself, not caring about anybody around you, and that's the downfall of the civilization.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about, the downfall of our civilization.
Now, we're in real trouble.
Yeah.
We are, in more ways than one.
Yesterday, I think we saw the rot that's happening in America. And the rot comes from a minority of people who are trying, have so much hatred for anybody that's different than them, because maybe they're getting some governmental assistance, or they're getting, somebody's feeling bad for them. You know, I don't know why they hate those people.
A lot of these people get government benefits themselves.
Yeah,
like in West Virginia and Kentucky, where we have all these people who are white supremacists, and a lot of them are poor whites, and they're getting all kinds of benefits, but they don't think of it that way, because it's all right for me to get it, but not for you to get it.
Well, when I was running for office, I had a public speaking thing where I talked down in Marysville, which is a very rural area. If you go north and west of Marysville, it's Columbus if you go east. But there are a lot of farmers there, and we had several rural people listening to me, and I pointed out to them, somebody said, well, how about all these people that are getting all this money and they're not doing anything for it? I said, you own a farm? Yeah. Do you take governmental assistance for you? Yes. But that was, I'm do that, you know, basically is what the person was saying.
Self-centered, just me, myself, and I.
Yeah. And I had two or three young farmers. After I talked, I had two or three young farmers come up to me and kind of nudge me and say, I'll vote for you. Because
there's always the hope the younger generation.
Yeah, the older.
If you have parents who promote prejudice, it's not easy to overcome it.
Yeah, and there are a lot, and I have a pair of friends right now. Matter of fact, both of them were in the service before they became farmers, but they're very devoted to helping people here in Marion, and I don't want to cast aspersions at all on people that have a farm. I love our farmers. Matter of fact, I'm a little bit of a farmer, but anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. I did have an interesting note that if, you know, the president claimed that the people that were rioting were really there in a peaceful rally, and there was love flowing everywhere. And
which was
like
mentioned
that.
By Harry Dunn. Yes,
yes, it was. But the point came up.
And kisses. Yes.
Why would you go to a rally that was supposed to be a peaceful rally wearing a helmet and bringing bear spray?
All the other weapons they brought. Yes, that's why it's a lie.
Yeah.
These Republicans, many of them, including Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan and others, are promoting a lie, and I guess they think everybody's stupid. Well, maybe a lot of people are, but it's really scary, because this is the kind of thing that can lead to a totalitarian government where everybody has to obey the leader and nobody can be critical of anything. It's really scary.
Well, tell me, what do you think? Instituted or created this need? Do you think it was the president saying go to the Capitol, or do you think there was pre-planning for all this?
Yes, clearly there was pre-planning.
Yeah.
You know, there were meetings, and also there's been reports, we don't know for sure, but they have the video, they're doing it now, of people taking people that later were involved in the riot on tours on January 4th and 5th. And that's why Jordan is under
Jordan.
And so is Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Madison Cawthorn and Paul Gosar and Matt Gaetz and others.
Yeah.
So I think they were planning for trouble and for violence. And I think what he said at the rally, our former president, was the kind of thing that would incite, as well as Giuliani, even more, Rudy Giuliani, others. And how can they say it's just talk? No, it's not just talk. They incited the violence. And the fact that no member of Congress was actually harmed is only because of the suffering and the actual sacrifices of not only the four we saw yesterday, officers, but also the 140 who were injured, the five or six who died, including I forgot his name now, the one who Sicknick.
Yeah.
I mean, so for somebody to say, even if nobody died, that's because the police were there to help. But the fact fact that you could just ignore all the damage done to the Capitol building and all the stuff that went on in the building and all the sacrifices of the 140 plus people. How can this man Tucker Carlson sleep at night? I don't understand it.
Well, I don't understand I don't understand why at this point the Republican Party is still turning its head and they're still calling the two that have joined the hearing, the two Republicans that have joined the hearing, they're still calling them traitors, basically.
Well, I support those traitors. We need people like that. And they'll go down in history. John F. Kennedy wrote about Profiles in Courage back in 1956, and there'll be a new book, not only about now, but about others who have had, others, even others who opposed to Trump, who were Profiles in Courage. You know, and I think that they'll be remembered in history in a lot better way than these seditionists and traitors.
Well, now another thing, and I touched on this earlier, we're thinking that there might be mandates to wear masks again. Are they talking about that down in Florida?
Not with our governor, absolutely not.
I didn't think they would be.
Nope. He doesn't care about people. He's only thinking about running for president. That's all he gives a damn about.
Do you think
it's an outrage?
Do you think it's a political thing?
It's becoming political, but I say, and I haven't been wearing a mask lately, but now, because of what's going on, I'm wearing the mask out when I go out again.
It's
not a big deal. It's annoying. Yeah. Life is annoying, but you have to do what you have to do, and you have to teach your kids responsibility, not just to yourself, but to others around you.
We're having to wear underwear is annoying.
Well, actually, there's some people who don't. There was a case. Somebody out of Palm Beach County Commission, months ago, it was reported, who was complaining about the mask mandate way back, and it was pointed out she doesn't wear underwear. I was laughing at it. It was so funny.
Well, I didn't when I was a young person. I was a lifeguard, so I was always...
I'm not talking about being a lifeguard. I'm talking about fully dressed, but no underwear. I think she mentioned, she says, I don't want to wear a mask, I don't even wear underwear. She actually admitted to it. Can you believe that?
Well, I don't understand the problem with wearing a mask. Today I told Scott, I'm going back. I every Wednesday after I'm done with you, I go to the grocery store for my wife and my sister-in-law, and because they don't want to go out in public if they don't have to, and so
husband and brother-in-law, I guess, right?
Yeah. And I do the shopping, and today I am going to put my mask back on.
Hooray, you're a hero.
Well, and I'm not doing it to be a hero. I'm doing it to show people that there's nothing wrong with wearing a mask.
Show respect for others.
Yeah.
You don't have to know them, but the point is, it respects others to consider their health could be affected by you not wearing a mask.
You know, we had that argument today on the show. One of Scott's speakers said there is no advantage to wearing a mask, which is absolutely unproven. That is,
no,
there is a proven
fact. I'm not an expert on it, but there's no harm in wearing a mask.
No.
It's just, and I mean, I've been seeing lately on here, on Facebook, they point out, imagine if in the time of the polio epidemic, everybody said, nope, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
We would have had tens of thousands, maybe millions, that would have had polio and still would have it. I mean, and the same thing with all the measles, mumps, rubella.
Right.
It's required. Well, it's tough luck. You are required to have vaccinations, and it should be required in a situation that's the worst in 100 years that people have masks.
Yeah.
They get vaccinated.
Well, no.
If you don't like it, I don't know where you should go, but it could go somewhere, and I'm not going to say what I mean, but to me, it's patriotism. It's concern about others.
Well, now, there was an interesting list that I looked up, because the speaker that Scott had this morning said that there had never been, there is no rule or law that says that you can make people stay at home if they're sick. That's not true. There are like about a dozen or so.
I heard that, yes. You're right.
And those are all, now they're done by executive order. So it doesn't, President Biden has not done that yet.
He probably won't because of the political.
Yeah.
It's very delicate, you know. They're going to claim he's a dictator.
Yeah.
And the person who was the dictator was the person who left and was trying to force himself on the country again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think think he'll do it, but you know, things like smallpox and even there is even a rule that you can put people into quarantine that have a flu virus that may lead into a pandemic, which applies exactly to this case.
A lot of people were forcibly left put in a hospital or some other institution because they, you know, like Typhoid Mary as an example.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you think she liked it?
And she was,
you have to be in private. That's all.
And she had no symptoms that went that she had inside her, but she could pass it along to anybody that she got in touch with. So, yeah.
Yes. It's just people are accustomed to thinking freedom is to do whatever the hell you want, no responsibility as a citizen, but that is what freedom is. Freedom, as long as you don't hurt other people in the process.
Well, another thing that I can't remember the policeman that sounds like he's from the West, big tall guy.
One of the four yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
The African-American guy?
No, the white guy is so tall. Anyway, he
I guess that's Hodges or Fanone?
Yeah, Fanone.
Fanone, yeah. He's really dynamic, by the way. I can see him in politics.
He is.
But he actually had a heart attack.
Yeah, you can tell that it's still affecting him.
Yeah, all four of them. Daniel Hodges is the one who was squeezed almost to death, that scene of him screaming that was shown early on, you know, didn't know who he was. Now we know his name, you know. Yeah, but Fanone is really dynamic. He really is, you know.
I was impressed with all of them.
Yes.
You know, one of the most impressive camera shots, they took it from the right end of the table, and Dunn was at the right end, and Golan?
Gunnell was at the left here.
Was at the left end, and Gunnell's about 5'1".
What? He's taller than that.
Not much. Well, yeah, he's probably 5'5".
Yeah.
5'6".
But Fanone is taller, and so is Hodges, and particularly Dunn. Boy.
Dunn is 6'7". So it looked,
really?
And they were all in order, so it looked like stepping
yeah,
stones.
I saw that. I was like, wow.
Yeah. He is 6'7". I looked at
him. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So shocked. Are there height? There are probably height mandates, restrictions for police.
I guess I could at least be 5'5", I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I think the average male is 5'10 or higher, I think, if you're talking about an average. So, yeah.
I thought it was 5'9", but it could be 5'10 by now.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I'm going back over my list of things I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I want to mention about Stephanie Murphy, is a congresswoman from Florida, who spoke up and got tearful a bit about how the people, you know, how these police officers saved her because she was not far away from them.
Yes, that was the one I was talking about earlier, yes.
Stephanie Murphy. Yeah. Now, she answers her name. You see, especially you can't go by names. You think, oh, she's Irish, Murphy. She's actually Vietnamese-American.
Vietnamese, really?
She's only the second Vietnamese person ever to serve in Congress. And I think, although she wouldn't say it, the fact that you can look at her and see that she's Asian, even if you don't know Vietnamese, would mean that anybody of those white supremacists who see someone who is not white would say, oh, let's go after her, particularly because she's Asian-looking. She doesn't look white.
Yeah.
You know, so... I guess she's mixed race because I guess her father must be white, I guess, but her mother is not. The point is, though, anybody who's Asian or Hispanic or African-American or Native American, or probably if they know the name and they think a person is Jewish, she's all excuses for white supremacists to go after these people. So I think she felt, even though she wouldn't mention it, I think her background made her probably a little more insecure just for that reason.
Did you hear, Scott, in my discussion about the Texas... representatives that have taken off to Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Do you believe that they should all be put in jail? Or
no.
I'm a firm believer in civil disobedience.
Be arrested, but not put in jail. Yeah. They're not going to be able to do that. And honestly, they had no other means to do anything other than to leave because the Republicans were running roughshod, and they're just not going to participate in that. Yeah. And the governor needs to be cited, and actually, I think, indicted as a dictator. He's gone way out of bounds by what he plans to do.
You think there are laws about being a dictator? I don't think there are any laws. I think we can vote a dictator in.
Yes, but he, actually, I'm trying to figure out, is he worse Or is the Florida governor worse?
They're I think your governor's pretty bad.
They're both horrendous. And while I'm not going to say everything about the Ohio governor is great, I commend him for what he has done. I think most of the time he's been correct in what he's done regarding the pandemic. But, of course, he's been attacked for it. But I think he's one of the few, just like in Maryland and in Vermont, and in Massachusetts, governors who did not go along with the tide of these other governors that are going berserk in having no responsibility on public health.
Well, now, Scott always teases me. Well, he always teases me. But he teases me about our governor having the $1 million giveaway thing. He's always thought it was bad, and it turned out that he was right. I was wrong, but I credit our governor with trying. I think
yes.
Trying is better than throwing your hands up and doing nothing, which I think your governor is doing.
he's horrible. So is the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, and so is the Iowa governor, Kim Reynolds, and also the South Carolina governor, Kristi Noem. And yet we have people saying that that indeed the Texas governor, the Florida governor, not so much Iowa, but the South Dakota governor should all be running for president. Based on what?
Yeah, well, based on the fact that they want to run for president. I think that's why they're making a lot of decisions. They're not making decisions based on what's right for their people or their constituents or anything like that. They're based on what will make them more popular with a group of ignoramuses that aren't really paying attention to what they're doing to the government.
Yes, a bunch of Darwin Award winners. <of course.
laughs> All right.
That's the term, Darwin. Darwin Award is for stupidity.
we're gonna have to get a plaque for you to hand out.
That's not my term. That's the term that's been used all the time, you know.
Is that
if
right?
You're really dumb, you win the Darwin Award.
All right. Well, I think we ought to nominate somebody every week for that. What do you say? Who would be
on this point with all those members of Congress and all these governors?
Who would be the number one and we're taking presidents out of this, including the past president. Who would be your number one Darwin award?
Oh, gosh. There's such a long list. I don't know. I would say, I would say Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson.
There you go.
Wisconsin, who's really off the wall.
Yes.
And I hope he doesn't run again, and he has to decide soon. And if he does, I hope he loses. But he's a disgrace to the state of Wisconsin and to the nation, and denying everything and just coming across as a total fool and moron, really. And if it wasn't, I was already, I'd use more foul language, but I can't.
Well, I'm going to vote for Getz. I think he qualifies because
Gates, actually.
Gates, yeah, I'm sorry, Gates. And the reason why I think Gates needs to be there is not only is he stupid about politics and about life, but he's stupid enough that he wants to be a pedophile, or at least that's what the theory is.
Well, because he's one of those people figures, that's what Donald Trump has been accused of being involved with people under 18 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, the thought is, I'm somebody, and his family has money too, Matt Gaetz.
Yes, I understand
that. But, and he figures, I can do anything I want. This is the problem of people who think money is everything, and they can do whatever the hell they want, and no responsibility to anybody in any way.
Well, we talked about that in our show earlier, and I really think that is the rot that's inside the United States of America right now. It's the
money. Yes.
And you know, the Bible says, and you know I'm an atheist, so I don't quote the Bible very often, but the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. But
that's what we've got going for us right now, the love of the money. What you can do, if you get enough money, you can buy anybody. And that's
what
sad.
Trump has been proving his whole life, yes.
Yeah.
But it also gets me, since you brought up religion again, these seditionists and traitors of January 6th always referring to Christianity, that they're good Christians. And
yeah.
Makes me want to vomit, because that's not Christianity.
No.
That is not the way that Jesus would have taught things. And, of course, the Old and New Testament were written long after the fact by many different people.
Right.
Not coming from God, one entity, all at once. And we have all these people who are foolish and stupid enough to believe that.
Yeah, we are sheep. We do tend to follow the loudest and most scary voice, I think. I don't know why that is. And that's why on this show and on my other shows, I constantly require people to think and use their...
Of course.
To study. I'm not good at reading. I don't read a lot. But there are ways that you can get information. Now, I'm going to... get the notes from the hearing that's going on right now, and you can get those things through talking books. I listened to the entire Mueller investigation.
Mueller. By the way, the Mueller investigation did not come up with a final conclusion that there was no Russian collusion.
No.
He couldn't investigate it fully, and the evidence is very clear there was Russian collusion, but many people just will say, nope, it isn't so, because Attorney General Barr said in a four-paragraph statement that it didn't show anything, but he didn't, the whole document has never been shared in a way that people can understand, so that's even a big lie.
Yeah, no.
They worry about 2020 that it was stolen. What about 2016 stolen?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the case, but God forbid those people who were seditionists and traitors don't see that. They only see someone who won by a massive margin, including in red states, meaning Joe Biden, that he's not really the president when he is. And he's doing, I think, considering all the problems he has, he doesn't have an FDR or LBJ Congress, but I think he's doing very well so far. But there are lots, of course, we worried about in the future, but I think he's had a great start.
Now, in watching the news yesterday, I noticed that both the Republican and Democratic groups that are discussing the infrastructure bill,
the physical part,
were very, very positive, both sides.
Yes.
It looks like that might get done. What do you think?
Yes, I think it will, and I think also the bigger infrastructure bill, which requires reconciliation, will.
Right.
I just wish we could get that with the voting rights issue by Sinema and Manchin agreeing to it, because it's just terrible. Because to me, this is... It's defying what happened in 1965, the Voting Rights Act, after all the marches, demonstrations that went on, and it sickens me to think that we're not going to do anything about it, and that means that 2022 and 2024 elections will be affected by Republicans suppressing the vote.
Well, it seems to me like a lot of the people that are interviewed, a lot of the Democratic people, and even a few Republicans, have mentioned when they're asked about it, do you think that the voting rights, what is the bill that's out there?
H.R. 1 and H.R. 4,
Yeah. They believe that they will get voted in, and... you know, maybe it's wishful thinking. I don't know.
Well, unless they get Republican like Murkowski or somebody to go along, I don't see how it's going to happen.
I think they believe that Manchin and what's her name from
Arizona? Sinema. Yeah.
I think they believe that they will eventually bend.
Well,
haven't yet, but
I don't know what else can be done. You know, it's. I'd like to believe that, but I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, we're only I'm only about 2.5 hours from West Virginia. Maybe I'll drive over today and talk to him.
2.5 hours? Is that close?
Oh yeah. When I lived in Athens, it was only a half an hour. So.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that close. Wow.
Yeah, we're right near. It's Appalachia. There are a lot of mountains along there. Little mountains.
So actually, Marion is considered Appalachia?
Oh, no. Marion is 2.5 hours from that area, or 2 hours from that area.
But you're close to it.
Yeah, a couple hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if you drive straight across.
I didn't know the geography that well.
If
wow.
If you drive straight across Route 70, I-70, we will drive right into Cambridge, Ohio, which is on the border, and I would guess that's not more than 2 hours from here, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I've been to West Virginia once. I was there too.
They let you out?
What's that?
You're a Jew. They let you out. They let you come out. I'm sorry.
Well, there are Jews in West Virginia. There's too many, I guess. But I can go around announcing my name. I went to see John Brown Harper's Ferry. I wanted to see the historic site of John Brown's raid at Harper's Ferry, which was part of Virginia but became West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I believe that there are the same number of Jews in West Virginia as there are black bear. And there are only 800 black bear. So.
I know there were 800. I don't know. But one thing is that it's not a joke that back, I don't know, like about 10 years ago, they were saying that illegal immigration, undocumented immigration affected 49 states. And I said, not West Virginia, and I was right.
Is that right?
At least at that point, had no problem, in quotes, meaning that nobody who was undocumented was going to move to West Virginia, at least back then.
Actually, West Virginia is a very pretty state. But
very poor, though.
Yeah, coal has been its lifeblood, and it's dying, so it's kind of strange.
And honestly, the government is not doing much about caring about that. That's what's so scary. It's so horrible,
They've been bowing to coal for years, so...
It's time to get over it and move on.
I guess so. Well, speaking of time to get over it, we're down to our last minute. Anything you want to mention before we get the heck out of here?
Well, as I said, I did want to mention, that the 60th Illinois Congressional District is where Adam Kinzinger comes from.
Okay.
But I just had an article on History News Network I found, which was shocking, that John Anderson, the 1980 independent candidate for president, was congressman from that district, and earlier Everett Dirksen, the Senate minority leader in the 60s, both came from that district. So this is one district in the last 90 years that's had three prominent people: Senator Everett Dirksen, John Anderson, who was a congressman and then ran for president in 1980, and now Adam Kinzinger. And when I wrote and I sent it to him, he said, "My God, is there something in the water in that district?"
I'm going to have to look up where that district is. Okay.
It's the northwestern corner of Illinois.
Okay.
Rockford is the biggest city in the area. But imagine all those three come from the same congressional district over the last 90 years.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's interesting.
All right, we're going to have to get out of here. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks so much again. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I